How many times have you sent messages to women and gotten zero response, or maybe gotten a response and then it fizzled out immediately? Well, you need help with your banter, my friend, and that is where I come in. I am basically the world's only banter coach. I teach you and give you the hard skill of being witty and clever and fun, and also emotive and vulnerable to connect with women so that they want to know you, they want to go on a date with you. I have helped so many men succeed at this, I've lost count. So if you're struggling in this department, I'm telling you, it is worth your time to go to kristinandchill.com. If I could take all the guys that I've worked with and have them yell at you and beat you up until you finally give in and say, okay, this is something I really do need to work on, I would do that. But unfortunately, I can't do that. But what I can do is I can teach you to be fast on your feet so that you can charm her socks off and even more. And if you're finding you're not even getting matches to be able to banter in the first place, I make killer profiles. I hate to brag, but they're really, really good. So if you need help with your profile, I'm here for that as well. Make 2023 not 2022 or 2021 or however long you've been struggling. And you can start doing that by going to kristinandchill.com.
Coming up on this week's episode of the Ask Women podcast, we dive deep into the science behind the penis. We've talked before about ED and testosterone and all of that stuff, but today we're digging deeper. We have Dr. Rena Malik on our show, and we are going to talk about how your penis actually works, what nerve endings are stimulated most, what parts of the vagina also are the best for you to try to touch and try to trigger. We're breaking every myth down about the penis and vagina, and we're also telling you all the things about penis and vaginas that you need to know from a doctor's point of view. So keep listening.
Hey, it's that time. It's the Ask Women podcast. It's your favorite time of the day or week. If you listen to us daily, you should just listen to us on repeat. I'm one of your hosts, Kristen Carney from kristinandchill.com, and my co-host, of course, Marnie Kinross from wingirlmethod.com. And today we have a urologist on, which means she talks about things like the kidneys and stuff, but we're going to get to the more interesting stuff like the penis and the vagina. Kidneys are interesting. Don't get me wrong, kidneys, but penis, vagina.
Not for the purpose of this show. We'll talk about that on another show. On Dr. Malik's show, she can talk about the kidneys.
Yes. So we have Dr. Rena Malik, MB on, who has a huge YouTube channel. You should check her out. They talk about so much stuff that could be beneficial to your health, but not just your health, but to your sex life. So Rena, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah. Actually, do you want to just tell us a little bit about you? I mean, obviously you're a doctor, but what made you so interested in this area of medicine?
Yeah. So I, like any good South Asian girl, was told to go into medicine. I mean, eventually I decided that I wanted to. My mom was a nurse and I looked up to her and I wanted to go in the medical field. So I, you know, went that path, went to medical school, got into NYU School of Medicine, which was a wonderful place to train. And then, you know, when I was training, I had no idea what I wanted to do. I thought I wanted to do maybe do cardiology or some sort of medical field, medical being like medicine without surgery. And so then I did my rotations and I fell in love with surgery. I loved the fact that people would come in with a problem, we'd operate on them and they'd get better, like pretty immediately.
Yeah. And you could cut people, you could slice them open, right? You like that too?
Sure. Yeah. I could work with my hands. But yeah, I mean, it's sort of like a very different experience for those who've never obviously operated. It's like a meditative space, right? You're like very focused on one thing. You get to work with your hands. It's actually very nice. And often there's music playing in the background. So it's very nice. And then ultimately, I looked at the subspecialties of urology, of surgery, including urology and ENT and ophthalmology and orthopedic surgery. And I just loved urologists. I found my tribe. Like they were cool people. They were really happy at work. They enjoyed what they were doing. And we have a lot of toys in urology. We work with lasers. We work with robotics. We were sort of very innovative as a field. And it was just like a great fit. And I loved it and still do. So it's been wonderful.
I love it. What we want to talk to you about today is some myths. Myths about the penis, myths about the vagina, how they both work, and like who better to go to than a doctor. But I'd love to actually, you choose. Which one do you want to start with first? Because both are important to the guys that are listening to this show. How a vagina works and how a penis works, but more importantly, what people and men believe about how the penis works and which penises work the best for women.
Well, there's so many myths we can debunk, but I will start by saying, I think the biggest one is that you need a big penis to pleasure a female. And I think first, the way we can debunk that myth, first off, is just knowing what the average is, right? So the average length of a penis, when you look at like multiple studies looking at worldwide people, is about 5.5 inches, okay? It's not these 12-inch penises that you're seeing in pornography. Like, that's not realistic. Those are on one side of the bell curve.
For me, 12 inches is small.
Yeah. Oh, Kristen, you're lucky then, I guess. Or maybe you're not.
Huge vagina. Yeah.
That's a myth. That's a huge myth. I'm lying.
Actually, I just am guilty of doing exactly what we do in society, which is like worshiping the large penis, which in fact is not the case. A lot of women actually have discomfort with large penises, and nor do they want a large penis is not necessary. So I just said that, but realizing like I do it too. Like we're like, oh, wow, that's so great. But it's not. It's not.
No, but we're just giving in to what society says. I'm going to interrupt you for 1 second. So have either of you watched this new show called Naked Attraction on HBO Max?
No.
Okay, so it's phenomenal. It's this new show. It's the opposite to Love is Blind, where you don't get to see a person. And now all you get to see are their genitals and the rest of their body before you actually see their face and hear them speak. So the first segment is 5 guys standing in a box, in their own boxes, and then this like window pulls up to just above their waist. Oh, and this woman is just looking at them with the host talking about their penises. Some are circumcised, some are not. And it's funny because the last woman that was on the show that I watched, she looked at one guy who had, I was guessing like a 10 inch penis, and she eliminated him first because she said, that's way too big. It's intimidating. I've been with men like that and I don't know where it's going to fit and I don't end up sleeping with them. So that is very true. But in society, we praise this large penis for some reason. But in reality, for me, myself, I actually don't like it either. And most of my female friends that I've talked to, none of them are like, he had a huge penis. If they say he has a huge penis, they're saying it like, he had a huge penis. It was way too big for me. I don't want to have to deal with it.
If people could see the video version of this podcast, which we don't have, but I'm nodding my head in huge agreement, as huge as these penises, and I'm getting really passionate because it's painful. And I once had an interaction with a man with a very, 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 very large thing. And I thought, I can never do that again. And I don't think we're going to be compatible. Like, we had great compatibility personality-wise, but I was like, I would feel like I was getting
ripped,
like raped every time because it hurt so bad. And now he dates a girl. He was like 6'3" or something. She's like 5'10" or 5'11". So they fit in size. So she, most likely her body can handle that size.
Yeah.
But for me as a 5'4", 100-pound girl, it was just like, there's no way. It doesn't matter how amazing he is. I can't do this.
Yeah.
So it really is a myth that I guess we're busting myth number one, that girls want the biggest one. They don't.
So average size is 5.5 inches flaccid, 5.5 inches erect.
So when you do these studies, right, we don't, like, there's some studies where they'll actually like inject medication to force an erection, but that's rare, right? Most of them will just take a stretched penile length, which is, you know, kind of accepted as being the equivalent of an erect penis. So if you stretch it maximally, that's the size that it's going to get when it's erect.
Okay. And then what about girth? Because that was one thing they said on this show, which I probably agree with as well, was that girth is more appreciated because it was talking about the nerve endings in the vagina that are in the first 2 inches of the vagina. So the wider that you are, the more that you can actually touch these nerve endings or have impact on these nerve endings. Is that correct?
Yeah, so the girth thing, you know, certainly because it's more about the, also those nerve endings with the clitoris, right, expands. it's not just that little bump, right? It expands deep into the pelvis and then goes down as like a wishbone. And so the clitoral body is also located on the lateral sides of the vagina. So girth can be beneficial for that. But I will tell you that in people who are getting neophalluses, there was a study I read where basically they were using like forearm flaps to make the neophalluses. And they were making them too girthy. Like they were too girthy for their partners to accommodate. So then they did this study to kind of find out what is the appropriate girth for females. So you can also get too girthy.
It is interesting because of what Kristen said, like that a 5'10 girl might be better off with a 6'3 guy. So like really what it is, it's if you fit or not. It's not like, are you too big or too small, right?
Well, I don't know about any data in terms of vaginal length being different based on height.
Okay.
The thing about the vagina is it's extremely flexible, right? You can push a baby out of there, right? So it can expand in length and in width by about two times, really. When you're aroused. So some of it is like, you're going to expand to the point you are. And some people are maybe not getting enough time to get aroused is really what I think. A lot of people are kind of trying to mimic what they see in pornography, yeah. which is like immediate penetration. There should be an orgasm right away and we should be done, right? That's not reality. Like women take a lot longer to become fully aroused. It can take about 20 minutes to have full lubrication and allow for that cervix to move up and out of the way and the vagina to lengthen and increase in girth or width.
Actually, can you talk a little bit more about that, that it takes 20 minutes for a woman to become ready to have sex? What can men do in these 20 minutes to either enhance that, speed it up, or just, you know, assist with the process?
Go clean something.
Yeah. yeah.
That's the joke, right? Like all the memes you see with like, some actor like doing some housework and like it's like porn for women. But I would say, honestly, everyone is individual and unique. So you need to know what turns your partner on. But a lot of times it's just being intimate with them, right? Like touching them, being physical with them, finding their erogenous zones and like actually stimulating those areas because our bodies are really good at picking up like sex might be coming. And so it starts getting ready for sex. Right. So you start having lubrication, your vagina starts lengthening, it starts widening, your cervix moves up and out of the way. All these things happen to ready the female body for penetration. But if you literally are like, I'm in the mood for sex, roll over, let's go, you're not ready. Right. The body hasn't had a chance to catch up. And everyone's a little bit different. Some women will be ready sooner, some will take longer. This is an average. Right. But like, you have to kind of do other things and everyone's individual. So I often encourage people to like, take some time where you're like actually intimate with your partner without having penetrative sex on the table. Like figure out what you like because everyone is a little bit different. Some people might like nipple stimulation. Some people don't. Some people like certain areas are really sensitive for them and some are not. So I think it's very individualized.
Okay. And I agree with that. It's funny because I do find that for my husband and I, when we have faster sex, I don't have as strong of an orgasm. And I don't know if that's tied to it as well, but sometimes I'm not as ready for sex. I can tell by the way that my body's responding, like how lubricated I am. So that actually, that it does make sense. And I forget about that sometimes. You did mention before we started the podcast, that there were some things about ejaculation as well that, well, I forget what you said. It was like how much you're supposed to ejaculate.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's a lot of people who are want to have for lack of a better term, like more forceful or more voluminous ejaculates, right? They want to like have a big load, basically. And so there's a lot of focus on that. But like, what do women think about this, right? So what happens, right? As you age, it's sort of normal for the ejaculate force to get reduced. And that's because you have reduced strength in your pelvic floor. You may have other things going on as well. Like, you know, a lot of men get an enlarged prostate and they take medications help with that, that can actually reduce your ejaculate volume quite a bit. And so there's multitude of reasons, but you know, it's common if you look at the data, right? When you look at young men, their ejaculatory force, they can like ejaculate 30 to 60 centimeters away from them. Whereas when you look at older men, it reduces to like 10 to 30 centimeters. So it does happen. It's normal. And I think like, what can you do to prevent it really from happening? You know, you can continue to strengthen your pelvic floor with, you know, doing strengthening exercises. But I always caution people about that because I think there's like this, oh, everyone should do Kegels. Kegels are great. They're so wonderful. But there's a subset of people who will either do them wrong, do too much, and then they will actually create more tension in their pelvic floor and cause pain. So I think there's like a little caveat, but yes, doing pelvic floor exercises can increase the strength and volume of ejaculate. But when you look at how women feel about it, at least in studies, most women just want their partner to ejaculate. They're not really focused on the force or the amount or anything like that.
It doesn't do anything for me. Like, does that help with arousal or an orgasm if there's more sperm? The only time I would think that would be beneficial is when you're trying to have a baby. But other times, like, I just think, oh, don't have too much to clean up. That's all that I think. That's all I'm thinking about. Or I guess if you're giving a blowjob to somebody, you also don't want, but maybe some women do. I've actually never asked that question of other women, but I don't think any woman would be like, you only had that much come out. Or do you think they associate that with a man's turn on?
We know that when men abstain from either masturbation or basically abstain from ejaculation for a couple of days, their volume's going to be higher. So there might be an evolutionary thing where some people are like, I want to see a certain volume, or I'm worried that maybe you've been with someone else, right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
But I don't think that's a thing that we know up front. But I would say that most people are not thinking about that, at least in the female population. But I think some people may mistaken it with the amount of pleasure that the person is having, you know?
Yeah.
And men feel very connected to it because it's also a sign of like, okay, this is the end of climax for me. And so they're very like mentally connected to it as well, which is totally fine. But I think just knowing that like this is a normal phenomenon that happens. And if you want a larger volume, the best things you can do are make sure you're drinking more fluids, abstain from intercourse for some period of time, or ejaculation for some period of time, ideally a couple of days is good. That's what we tell people who are trying to have a baby, is like every other day is a good amount to have sex when you're ovulating. And then, you know, you can do Kegels within reason, strengthening exercises.
What do you think about penis pumps? Like, people keep telling me it's like a workout for your penis. And I know that some people do it for increased size, but I do know that it helps with blood flow. Using it doesn't always end with ejaculation. Are there any benefits to penis pumps from your point of view?
So we use them in a couple different ways. One is for men who have difficulties getting erections because they cause increased blood flow. They actually force blood flow into the penis, right? It's a vacuum. It's suctioning blood flow into the penis. So that's one way we use it. So people can use it with like a constriction band, and then they can keep an erection to have sex. The other way we use it is sometimes in men who've had a prostatectomy to sort of do what we call penile rehabilitation. So we'll say like use it 5 minutes twice a day, and that increases blood flow to the area without needing medication, right? Or you can take medication. And then, you know, there are recreational uses, as you described. It has not been shown to increase length in multiple studies, but again, it's not a hugely studied topic. And then, you know, I think generally, like, it is increasing blood flow as long as you're using it carefully with the right amount of lubricant and stuff. You're not going to cause any harm. So it's reasonable to use, but like, will there be a true benefit? It's unclear.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, I want to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with Dr. Rena Malik and find out more about the vagina. So we'll be back in a second.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Want to know the hidden meaning behind what women say and do? Then check out The Chictionary. It's the Wing Girl Method's manual that gives you a full rundown of all the things women say that confuse men, written in dictionary format. Go get a copy of The Chictionary by going to winggirlmethod.com/chick. That's winggirlmethod.com/chick.
Coming up on this week's episode of the Ask Women podcast, we dive deep into the science behind the penis. We've talked before about ED and testosterone and all of that stuff, but today we're digging deeper. We have Dr. Rena Malik on our show, and we are going to talk about how your penis actually works, what nerve endings are stimulated most, what parts of the vagina also are the best for you to try to touch and try to trigger. We're breaking every myth down about the penis and vagina, and we're also telling you all the things about penis and vaginas that you need to know from a doctor's point of view. So keep listening.
That time, it's the Ask Women podcast. It's your favorite time of the day or week. If you listen to us daily, you should just listen to us on repeat. I'm one of your hosts, Kristen Carney from KristenAndChill.com, and my co-host, of course, Marnie Kinross from WingGirlMethod.com. And today we have a urologist on, which means she talks about things like the kidneys and stuff, but we're going to get to the more interesting stuff like the penis and the vagina. Kidneys are interesting. Don't get me wrong, kidneys, but penis, vagina.
Not for the purpose of this show. We'll talk about that on another show. On Dr. Malik's show, she can talk about the kidneys.
Yes. So we have Dr. Rena Malik, MB, on, who has a huge YouTube channel. You should check her out. They talk about so much stuff that could be beneficial to your health, but not just your health, but to your sex life. So Rena, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah. Actually, do you want to just tell us a little bit about you? I mean, obviously you're a doctor, but what made you so interested in this area of medicine?
Yeah. So I, like any good South Asian girl, was told to go into medicine. I mean, eventually I decided that I wanted to. My mom was a nurse and I looked up to her and I wanted to go in the medical field. So I, you know, went that path, went to medical school, got into NYU School of Medicine, which was a wonderful place to train. And then, you know, when I was training, I had no idea what I wanted to do. I thought I wanted to do cardiology or some sort of medical field, medical being like medicine without surgery. And so then I did my rotations and I fell in love with surgery. I loved the fact that people would come in with a problem, we'd operate on them and they'd get better, like pretty immediately.
Yeah. And you could cut people, you could slice them open, right? You like that too?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I could work with my hands. But yeah, I mean, it's sort of like a very different experience for those who've never obviously operated. It's like a meditative space, right? You're like very focused on one thing. You get to work with your hands. It's actually very nice. And often there's music playing in the background. So it's very nice. And then ultimately, I looked at the subspecialties of urology, of surgery, including urology and ENT and ophthalmology and orthopedic surgery. And I just loved urologists. I found my tribe. Like, they were cool people. They were really happy at work. They enjoyed what they were doing. And we have a lot of toys in urology. We work with lasers. We work with robotics. We were sort of very innovative as a field. And it was just like a great fit. And I loved it and still do. So it's been wonderful.
Oh, I love it. Well, what we want to talk to you about today is some myths. Myths about the penis, myths about the vagina, how they both work, and like, who better to go to than a doctor? But I'd love to you choose. Which one do you want to start with first? Because both are important to the guys that are listening to this show, how a vagina works and how a penis works, but more importantly, what people and men believe about how the penis works and which penises work the best for women.
Well, there's so many myths we can debunk, but I will start by saying, I think the biggest one is that you need a big penis to pleasure a female. And I think first, the way we can debunk that myth, first off, is just knowing what the average is, right? So the average length of a penis, when you look at like multiple studies, looking at worldwide people, is about 5.5 inches. Okay. It's not these 12-inch penises that you're seeing in pornography. Like, that's not realistic. Those are on one side of the bell curve.
For me, 12 inches is small.
Yeah. Oh, Kristen, you're lucky then, I guess. Or maybe you're not.
Huge vagina. Huge vagina. Yeah.
That's a myth. That's a huge myth. I'm lying.
Actually, I just am guilty of doing exactly what we do in society, which is like worshiping the large penis, which in fact is not the case. A lot of women actually have discomfort with large penises, and nor do they want a large penis is not necessary. So I just said that, but realizing like I do it too. Like, we're like, oh, wow, that's so great. But it's not.
No, but we're just giving in to what society says. I'm going to interrupt you for 1 second. So have either of you watched this new show called Naked Attraction on HBO Max?
No.
Okay. So it's phenomenal. It's this new show. It's the opposite to Love is Blind, where you don't get to see a person. And now all you get to see are their genitals and the rest of their body before you actually see their face and hear them speak. So the first segment is 5 guys standing in a box in their own boxes. And then this like window pulls up to just above their waist. Oh, and this woman is just looking at them with the host talking about their penises. Some are circumcised, some are not. And it's funny because the last woman that was on the show that I watched, she looked at one guy who had, I was guessing like a 10-inch penis, and she eliminated him first because she said, that's way too big. It's intimidating. I've been with men like that and I don't know where it's going to fit and I don't end up sleeping with them. So that is very true. But in society, we praise this large penis for some reason. But in reality, for me, myself, I actually don't like it either. And most of my female friends that I've talked to, none of them are like, he had a huge penis. If they say he has a huge penis, they're saying it like, he had a huge penis. It was way too big for me. I don't want to have to deal with it.
If people could see the video version of this podcast, which we don't have, but I'm nodding my head in huge agreement, as huge as these penises, and I'm getting really passionate because it's painful. And I once had an interaction with a man with a very, 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 very large thing. And I thought, I can't ever do that again. And I don't think we're going to be compatible. Like, we had great compatibility personality-wise, but I was like, I would feel like I was getting
ripped,
like raped every time because it hurt so bad. And now he dates a girl. He was like 6'3" or something. She's like 5'10" or 5'11". So they fit in size. So she, most likely her body can handle that size.
Yeah.
But for me as a 5'4", 100-pound girl, it was just like, there's no way. It doesn't matter how amazing he is. I can't do this.
Yeah.
So it really is a myth that I guess we're busting myth number one, that girls want the biggest one. They don't.
So average size is 5.5 inches flaccid, 5.5 inches erect.
So when you do these studies, right, we don't, like, there's some studies where they'll actually like inject medication to force an erection, but that's rare, right? Most of them will just take a stretched penile length, which is, you know, kind of accepted as being the equivalent of an erect penis. So if you stretch it maximally, that's the size that it's going to get when it's erect.
Okay. And then what about girth? Because that was one thing they said on this show, which I probably agree with as well, was that girth is more appreciated because it was talking about the nerve endings in the vagina that are in the first 2 inches of the vagina. So the wider that you are, the more that you can actually touch these nerve endings or have impact on these nerve endings. Is that correct?
Yeah. So the girth thing, you know, certainly because it's more about the, also those nerve endings with the clitoris, right? Expands. It's not just that little bump, right? It expands deep into the pelvis and then goes down as like a wishbone. And so the clitoral body is also located on the lateral sides of the vagina. So girth can be beneficial for that. But I will tell you that in people who are getting neophalluses, there was a study I read where basically they were using like forearm flaps to make the neophalluses. And they were making them too girthy. Like they were too girthy for their partners to accommodate. So then they did this study to kind of find out what is the appropriate girth for females. So you can also get too girthy.
It is interesting because of what Kristen said, like that a 5'10 girl might be better off with a 6'3 guy. So like really what it is, it's if you fit or not. It's not like, are you too big or too small, right?
Well, I don't know about any data in terms of vaginal length being different based on height.
Okay.
The thing about the vagina is it's extremely flexible, right? You can push a baby out of there, right? So it can expand in length and in width by about two times, when you're aroused. So some of it is like, you're going to expand to the point you are, and some people are maybe not getting enough time to get aroused is really what I think. A lot of people are kind of trying to mimic what they see in pornography, which is like immediate penetration. There should be an orgasm right away and we should be done, right? That's not reality. Like women take a lot longer to become fully aroused. It can take about 20 minutes to have full lubrication and allow for that cervix to move up and out of the way and the vagina to lengthen and increase in girth or width.
Actually, can you talk a little bit more about that, that it takes 20 minutes for a woman to become ready to have sex? What can men do in these 20 minutes to either enhance that, speed it up, or just, you know, assist with the process?
Go clean something.
Yeah.
That's the joke, right? Like all the memes you see with like some actor like doing some housework and like it's like porn for women. But I would say, honestly, everyone is individual and unique. So you need to know what turns your partner on. But a lot of times it's just being intimate with them, right? Like touching them, being physical with them, finding their erogenous zones and like actually stimulating those areas because our bodies are really good at picking up like sex might be coming. And so it starts getting ready for sex. right? So you start having lubrication, your vagina starts lengthening, it starts widening, your cervix moves up and out of the way. All these things happen to ready the female body for penetration. But if you literally are like, I'm in the mood for sex, roll over, let's go, you're not ready, right? The body hasn't had a chance to catch up. And everyone's a little bit different. Some women will be ready sooner, some will take longer. This is an average, right? But like, you have to kind of do other things, and everyone's individual. So I often encourage people to like, take some time where you're like actually intimate with your partner without having penetrative sex on the table. Like, figure out what you like, because everyone is a little bit different. Some people might like nipple stimulation, some people don't. Some people like certain areas are really sensitive for them and some are not. So I think it's very individualized.
Okay. And I agree with that. It's funny because I do find that for my husband and I, when we have faster sex, I don't have as strong of an orgasm. And I don't know if that's tied to it as well, but sometimes I'm not as ready for sex. I can tell by the way that my body's responding, like how lubricated I am. So that actually, that it does make sense. And I forget about that sometimes. You did mention before we started the podcast, that there were some things about ejaculation as well that, I forget what you said. It was like how much you're supposed to ejaculate.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's a lot of people who are very, want to have, for lack of a better term, like more forceful or more voluminous ejaculates, right? They want to like have a big load, basically. And so there's a lot of focus on that. But like, what do women think about this, right? So what happens, right? As you age, it's sort of normal for the ejaculate force to get reduced. And that's because you have reduced strength in your pelvic floor. You may have other things going on as well. Like, you know, a lot of men get an enlarged prostate and they take medications to help with that, that can actually reduce your ejaculate volume quite a bit. And so there's multitude of reasons, but you know, it's common if you look at the data, right? When you look at young men, their ejaculatory force, they can like ejaculate 30 to 60 centimeters away from them. Whereas when you look at older men, it reduces to like 10 to 30 centimeters. So it does happen. It's normal. And I think like, what can you do to prevent it really from happening? You know, you can continue to strengthen your pelvic floor with, you know, doing strengthening exercises. But I always caution people about that because I think there's like this, oh, everyone should do Kegels. Kegels are great. They're so wonderful. But there's a subset of people who will either do them wrong, do too much, and then they will actually create more tension in their pelvic floor and cause pain. So I think there's like a little caveat, but yes, doing pelvic floor exercises can increase the strength and volume of ejaculate. But when you look at how women feel about it, at least in studies, most women just want their partner to ejaculate. They're not really focused on the force or the amount or anything like that.
It doesn't do anything for me. Like, does that help with arousal or an orgasm if there's more sperm? The only time I would think that would be beneficial is when you're trying to have a baby. But other times, like I just think, oh, don't have too much to clean up. That's all that I think. That's all I'm thinking about. Or I guess if you're giving a blowjob to somebody, you also don't want, but maybe some women do. I've actually never asked that question of other women, but I don't think any woman would be like, you only had that much come out. Or do you think they associate that with a man's turn on?
We know that when men abstain from either masturbation or basically abstain from ejaculation for a couple of days, their volume's going to be higher. So there might be an evolutionary thing where some people like, I want to see a certain volume, or I'm worried that maybe you've been with someone else, right?
Yeah. That makes sense.
But I don't think that's a thing that we know upfront. But I would say that most people are not thinking about that, at least in the female population. But I think some people may mistaken it with the amount of pleasure that the person is having, you know?
Yeah.
And men feel very connected to it because it's also a sign of like, okay, this is the end of climax for me. And so they're very like mentally connected to it as well, which is totally fine. But I think just knowing that like, this is a normal phenomenon that happens. And if you want a larger volume, the best things you can do are make sure you're drinking more fluids, abstain from intercourse for some period of time, or ejaculation for some period of time, ideally a couple of days is good. That's what we tell people who are trying to have a baby, is like every other day is a good amount to have sex when you're ovulating. And then, you know, you can do Kegels within reason, strengthening exercises.
What do you think about penis pumps? Like, people keep telling me it's like a workout for your penis. And I know that some people do it for increased size, but I do know that it helps with blood flow. Using it doesn't always end with ejaculation. Are there any benefits to penis pumps from your point of view?
So we use them in a couple different ways. One is for men who have difficulties getting erections because they cause increased blood flow. They actually force blood flow into the penis, right? It's a vacuum. It's suctioning blood flow into the penis. So that's one way we use it. So people can use it with like a constriction band, and then they can keep an erection to have sex. The other way we use it is sometimes in men who've had a prostatectomy to sort of do what we call penile rehabilitation. So we'll say like use it 5 minutes twice a day, and that increases blood flow to the area without needing medication, right? Or you can take medication. And then, you know, there are recreational uses, as you described. It has not been shown to increase length in multiple studies, but again, it's not a hugely studied topic. And then, you know, I think generally, like, it is increasing blood flow as long as you're using it carefully with the right amount of lubricant and stuff. You're not going to cause any harm. So it's reasonable to use, but like, will there be a true benefit? It's unclear.
Okay. Interesting. I want to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with Dr. Rena Malik and find out more about the vagina. So we'll be back in a second.